Living Hope Assembly of God.
If you grab your Bible, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. You'll stand for the reading of God's word if you can. I want to do something slightly different today. I want to ask a strong reader, Sister Celeste, will you read Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 29 for me today? Chapter 3, verses 1 through 29. It's going to be the entire chapter.
Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Amen. Brother Pat, will you read that all over again? No, I'm just joking. Father, today be glorified in our service, God. Speak to our hearts by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Sister Celeste. She read it so much better than I would have. Out for a thought today, just to keep us on task, I want to say, just keep walking. That's the title that I feel like God gave me for our subject, for our conversation today. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. No matter how many stones are being thrown at you spiritually, just keep walking. No matter how many lies the enemy is telling you, just keep walking. No matter what the world looks like today, just keep walking. No matter how you feel in your body at the moment, just keep walking. Paul started out very harshly, if you will, to the Galatians. He said, "O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before your eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified." It wasn't that Christ was literally crucified before them, but the way Paul had laid it out for them, they could not deny the truth of the scriptures. And when we look within our text today, we see that these false teachers that we've been talking about, even in the book of Romans and even now in the book of Galatians, we see that this idea of Judaism seems to keep raising its ugly head. And as we go through this subject today, I want you to take inventory of your own life. None of us in this place that I know of are a part of Judaism, but once we are born again, we create ideas and mindsets that are ultimately contrary to the will and the plan of God. We pick up traditions and habits, church lingos, and ways that we do things, and we try to force it on someone else. This morning, we are in chapter 3 of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul is dealing with the spiritually blurred vision of the Galatian converts. Their vision was blurry because some of them had come to believe the false teaching that was totally permeated throughout the society. This twisted view came much after they had been converted from their pagan ways and radically changed by the Spirit to follow Christ and Christ alone. I need you to understand today, when God does a work in your life, it is a radical change that takes place inside of the believer. Listen, it is a spiritual change. It is a radical change. And it's evident that the first century church, when there was a change, when a person was born again, it was very identifiable. It was no doubting it. There was no wondering when they were changing. We see the signs through biblical teaching that one's heart, after their turn from the ways of the world, we see a pattern that typically, in most cases, from what we see in Scripture, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So there was a radical change that took place. Listen, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you understand what I'm talking about. There's something supernatural that's even beyond conversion that happens in your life that causes you to be radically changed. Your eyes are open. You can see clearly. There's a desire to do a greater work for God. Radical change. And when we look at the Galatians, there was a radical change in the life of the believers in Galatia. It was very identifiable. And Paul's teaching, we read about Paul's teaching, but how would you like to have sat under Paul's teaching? It's completely different. These individuals got to see Paul at work firsthand. They got to see the power of God moving through the Apostle Paul. Listen, the Apostle Paul, it wasn't that Paul wasn't an eloquent man. Paul spoke in simple language because he didn't want to say something that was over the heads of the people. He wanted the people to get to be able to experience the full power of the scripture and bring in an understanding and a clarity so that they can take home what was being said. And Paul taught these individuals. He raised these individuals up. Now he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, man, who has bewitched you?" Listen, we're doing a study. We're walking through every book, every chapter of the book of Galatians. And I'm going to slow down and just let God be God. Is that okay with you? They were foolish in that after they had experienced such a great salvation, they turned back to something so empty of power and the ability to deliver one from sin. Yes. They turned to trying to keep the law, the teaching of Judaism. And what they said was that, okay, Christ is good. Yeah, you need him, but you need Christ plus. This. When you hear someone tell you, listen, whatever happened to someone just coming to church, hearing the gospel, and their life being changed? Whatever happened to that kind of salvation? Whatever happened to the kind of salvation where you come to the altar, lay down on your face, call out to the sovereign God of heaven, get up from the altar, realizing that something took place that was beyond you? That's salvation. That's true salvation. We need a move of God. In our society, church, we need a move of God. We see a form of godliness that is taking place and a false Pentecost that has surfaced in society, and people are moved by a whole bunch of junks and a whole bunch of junk, smoke, camera, lights, and action, but there's no power. How often are we guilty of the same thing that these believers were guilty of? How often do we find ourselves, church, falling into the same mindset after Christ has revealed himself and shown himself mighty and strong in our life? And when the first hint of trouble come our way, we find ourselves trying to fix it and look for other ways and means of finding deliverance and finding hope. I have to ask myself, thank God for the lady with the issue of blood, but my question is, what took her so long to get to Jesus? She probably heard about this miracle worker, and all of a sudden she's looking all other places but in the right place. We could look in what seems to be the right place for so long and miss God. We can search in the wrong places and God not be there. The greatest place you can find the will of God is on your face.
That's
right. The Galatians struggle with the basic question. How are we made right before God? What is our standing before God? Because some had been a part of this bad teaching, they answered the question wrong. They thought we are made right before God based on what Jesus did for us. And like I said, plus what we must do for him. Some of us wear ourselves slapped out trying to do things to earn something from God. You can't earn anything. It's given to you freely. Receive it. We're not like other religions. We don't have to work for it. You don't have to stand on some pole and balance yourself. The only thing you have to do is just say, God, I give it to you. I place my trust in you. I place my hope in you. One cannot be saved and gain a relationship with God through good works. No matter how good or bad things achieved in this life, apart from accepting Christ, your labor is in vain. King Solomon, after all of his achievements in life, wrote Ecclesiastes. In the opening chapter of chapter 1, he says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher. "Vanity of vanities. All is vanity." What benefit is there to a man in all his labors that he toils under the sun? We got to understand King Solomon had any and everything that we could have wanted. He had all the money, the richest man in the Bible. He had all the buildings, the houses, the women, the chariots, whatever he wanted, he had. He had all the beautiful horses. He had it all. But none of that could truly secure him and make him happy. We see this example in scripture, and we see examples from others. We look on television and we see other people, their life is in disarray, but for some reason we go after the same thing that they thought to make them happy. I have learned through the course of time that I have all that I need in Christ. Listen to what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14. He gives the answer to what sustained not just him, but mankind. "All has been heard. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this are the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." I threw that last part in so that we wouldn't get so comfortable in our walk with God, but that we would stand before a holy God with fear and trembling and work out our salvation in front of him. Listen, the whole duty of man is to have faith in God and not in oneself. Solomon found himself placing his trust in himself. Solomon was the king. Solomon was so powerful that he could have anything that he wanted. But at the end of the day, Solomon came to the conclusion, all of that is vanity apart from God. There's an empty space in the heart of every man that only God can fill. And when that peace is filled, you find contentment. You find joy. God can use you. God can use you to work miracles through you in this earth. Tap into that. Chew on that the rest of the day. Hear me today. Salvation is only attained by a response to accept Christ's provision of mercy through his son Jesus. What is the gospel about? The gospel is about Christ. Anything other than that is not the gospel. However, good works is a part of who we are. Let's not get it wrong. They are a part of our spiritual DNA. Matthew 5, 16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Even then, this is not what saves you, because there are sinners in this world that will cause us to pale in comparison to all their good works. Listen, there are sinners right now that are on their way to hell that do a whole lot of good things that make the church look bad, and even people out there in the world get it confused. They can't even identify who's the sinner and who's the saint of how many good works these individuals are doing. But your good works cannot save you. The Bible says that your righteousness is as a filthy rag. Listen, I'm trying to set some people free in this place today and get rid of some detachments, some mindsets that make you think that you have to do something special to earn the love of God, and the only thing that he wants you to do is just surrender to him. Salvation comes to an individual by God's gift of grace, his unearned favor that comes as a response to the person's godly faith. You can't be saved without faith. The Bible says that we confess or profess with our mouth and believe in our heart. Now we're getting somewhere. How can I get to a place of belief unless he reveals? You have to realize that you are a sinner in need of his grace. Listen, that's freeing to me. I don't have to be on some pinnacle place in my life. I don't have to have a whole lot of success to get the job. I've already gotten the job and at this place of being really disqualified. I don't deserve it. But he gives it anyway. God's gift of grace includes a heart that is repentant. Godly sorrow works repentance. We can get up here all day long and say a bunch of mumble jumbo and not mean it. Sometimes godly sorrow just takes a whole lot of tarrying for a moment. One thing about it, when you stand before God, there's an enemy, and then there's you. And you can be very prideful, and the enemy can be very deceiving. And those two together make a good team. Sometimes we just have to press in hard in order to receive from God. Can I just be pastor today? Can I just pastor today and just preach the whole truth of God's word? I said that to tell you we might not get finished with this today, so we'll keep going regardless. In order to be saved, one must repent. There must be a response in faith where one acknowledges that they are a sinner and is in need of his grace. Salvation comes when we surrender, when you surrender your all to the Lordship of Christ. In other words, when you stop doing things the way that you want to do them, and when you start doing things the way God wants to do them, and I promise you, brothers and sisters, oftentimes when God, the way God want to do it, is polar opposite of how you even think. Listen, that's why you need to fall on your knees and find out the will and plan of God. That's why you can't just fall on your knees. You got to get in God's word as well to understand God's will and God's plan for your life. I hate to hear someone say, I love to pray, but I don't like to read. And I hate to hear someone say, I like to read, but I don't like to pray. You better figure it out. You better balance it out. We got to understand that you got to have both and in order to walk with God. Because one thing about it, if you're not a good reader of God's word, the devil is just waiting to deceive you with some heresy. And you'll be so easily carried away with your spiritual self over spiritualizing things and scripture not saying it, when simply put, you could have prayed and read God's word and brought a balance and said, God, what are you saying in a moment? Because I know you're not going to say something that's contrary to your word. Let's bring balance back to the house of God and we might see a move of God. Paul wrote with urgency to correct their thinking. He first writes about his own experiences. Listen, your testimony is powerful. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony means a lot. His faith. He also wrote about his faith that came solely as he placed his hope alone in Jesus Christ. Not faith from the law that came by the law, but faith that came through Christ. I want to say a side note, you can't have mama's and daddy's faith. You have to get it on your own. You have to grow in God for yourself. You don't get, it's not the baton being passed down and you get everything that mama and dad had in God. No, you got to call on the name of Jesus for yourself. You have to believe him for yourself. You have to trust in him for yourself. Then Paul wrote about his experiences confronting the Apostle Peter when he slipped under the same era. Have you met that individual within church? Paul is listing all the things. He's writing about all the things. And he's telling the Galatians, listen, my own personal experience, This is what I dealt with. This is how I know that this is real, because, man, Christ came to me on the road to Damascus. And then he said, listen, one of the faithfuls up there in Jerusalem that everybody adhered to, listen, I had to confront him one day, because he went back to the same mindset, and he was being very hypocritical. When he was in front of the Gentiles, he lived like the Gentiles. When he was with the Jews, he lived like the Jews. And when the Jews was in front of the Gentiles, he pretended to be something that he really wasn't. After dealing with his own experiences, the Apostle Paul deals with the experience of the Galatian Christians themselves. Just as Paul's experience proved that we stand right before God based on what Jesus did, not based on what we do under the law, so will the Galatians' experience prove the same thing. In our culture, to call someone foolish is using strong language. Paul was not calling them foolish in that they were morally or mentally deficient, but that they are foolish in that the principle Paul referred to are things the Galatians knew. They should have known. Things they had been taught. The knowledge and understanding were there, but they were not using them. See, we can preach all day long, but it's up to you to take home and apply what has been said. There are people that can read the Bible and quote more scripture but live like the devil. I told you several weeks ago that I've been in the circle of men who were sloppy drunk that can quote scripture and sound very well in doing that and quote more scripture than I can, but man, their lives are a wreck. Listen, you can quote more scripture but be mean to your wife. You can quote more scripture and have a spirit of lust all up in you. Can I preach today? Can we talk about it and expose the lies of the enemy? Listen, those that practice righteousness, they're righteous. Practicing the Word of God is what changed your life. Not just reading the Word of God, not just being hearers of the Word of God, but being doers of the Word of God is what changes your life. The Word has already been given, and it is God-inspired, written down by normal men, but it is life-transforming when we apply it. The Bible says in James 4:17, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do, and does it do it? And doesn't do it? To that individual is sin. Yes. You gotta apply God's word to your life. When you're faced with a difficult situation, you just can't keep wallowing over in your sin. At some point, you have to apply God's word. Have you ever met that person who grew up in a Christian home, went to church every Sunday and Wednesday, but somehow, somewhere, their life and their beliefs became twisted? That's what we have in our text. Like, how did you get there? After growing up in the house of God, how in the world did you become an atheist? And I know part of it, sometimes it comes by hurt, and that's still a deception by the devil. Listen, if you're hurt, God can heal your hurt. Listen, if you're wounded, God can be the balm of Gilead in your life and bring you the healing that you need. The question is, are you going to place your faith in him? Just keep walking, church. Just keep walking. No matter what life throws your way, just keep walking. I'm talking to a household of faith today in this place. Just keep walking when you face hard times in your life. Have you ever tried telling them the truth and to no avail their reasoning of scriptures? It's twisted. And when you come to a person like that, they become very apprehensive that they cannot receive what is being conveyed to them, the truths that are found in God's word. Blatantly right there before them, plainly, visibly before them, but they still would choose the lie over the truth. Listen, what lies is the devil saying to you about yourself? God has already told you who you are. Listen, can I tell you something? You don't need me to tell you who you are in God. You need God to tell you. Fall on your knees and ask him. Get in his word. The Galatians' minds were so clouded with deception that Paul asked, "Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" Who, Paul wants to know. Somebody did it, and we know ultimately it wasn't humanity. Ultimately, there's one working behind the scenes. He's the enemy of our soul. He presents himself as an angel of light. And his desire is to deceive many so that they would not follow God. Paul is not saying that they had a literal spell cast on them, but their thinking at this point is so clouded and so unbiblical. Wow. That's good preaching, Charles. Keep going. You're going to make a difference today. We can sit in church and hear the word of God, and we can think to ourselves, and we can reason ourselves out of what God is saying. Their thinking was clouded, and they were so unbiblical that it seems that some kind of spell had been cast over them. Have you met a person like that? Like, what is wrong with you? The truth of God's word is right here. How in the world can you think that? The Bible says that the God of this world has blinded them. Listen, in ancient times, what they would do, they had what was called a spell casting. And if you look into the eye of the snake, kind of like Jungle Book, who's seen Jungle Book in here? And Mowgli, and he's looking at that snake, and he starts wobbling, his eyes start twirling in his head. And that's so how the enemy does us when we take our mind off God, when we take our focus off God. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I know there's a lot of voices calling you, just like they called Elisha when he was following Elijah. And those prophets, false prophets in the hills, would call his name, and they would try to discourage him and try to get him to look a different way. And Elisha just whispered to them, just be quiet. And he just kept walking and following Elijah. I'm asking you today, I'm pleading with you today, even the things you don't understand quite yet in God's word, even when the trials come, even when the tests come, just keep walking. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't allow the enemy to hypnotize you, to cause you to stare intensely into his lie, deceiving you, causing you to go another direction, clouding your vision, clouding God's plan for your life. Keep your focus on Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to be a spiritual eye wash, eye salve for you, so that it can wipe away all of the goop and the stuff that shouldn't be in your eyes. And just like the Apostle Paul, when he would met Jesus, the Bible says that the scales came off of his eyes at some point. Listen, we need the scales to come off. Paul is encouraging the Galatians to keep their eyes always steadfastly upon Jesus. Guys, I've had some difficult times in my life. My family has had difficult times. But I'm still running with Jesus. I've seen some difficult seasons. My wife has seen difficult seasons in her health, but she's just as faithful now as she was yesterday, and her faith has been increased. And that ought to increase your faith. When you see an individual going through something, you ought to say, the same spirit that lives in them lives within me. And if they're going to keep going, I'm going to keep going. How easy it is for churches, denominations, and other church organizations to be bewitched today. Especially if our focus is on anything other than the cross. Where's your focus, church? Is it on the cross? Is it on what we see around us? Is your focus on if your family's going well, God must be doing something good? Is your focus on my banking account, if I got money in my account, so that's the activity of God? What if you were flat broke? What if you were in Job's situation? Would you still trust him? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Even great men of God battle with this very thing. Martin Luther once said, although I am a doctor of divinity and have preached Christ and fought his battles for a long time, I know from personal experience how difficult it is to hold fast to the truth. I cannot always shake off Satan. I cannot always apprehend Christ as the scriptures portray him. Sometimes the devil distorts Christ to my vision. But thanks be to God who keeps us in his word, in faith, and in prayer. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to get it right all the time. Man, have you ever been riding down the road and it's been raining? And it's hard to see. Most of the time, the key is not to stop if you're going to a destination. But the key is to slow down. But keep pressing.
Yes.
Slow down and keep pressing. It's not over yet. Slow down, but keep moving forward. It may be difficult. You may be getting pounded. You may not get there when you think you should get there, but you're going to get there in God's time. If he is leading you, the devil wants us to move fast. He wants us to keep moving fast and keep doing things the way that we're used to doing them. But when life presses on you, you need to press into Jesus. You need to fall on your face and just slow down. I'm speaking to somebody's heart today. You need to slow down. Paul says, before your eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Behind the word clearly portrayed is the idea of a billboard to visibly display, as in setting on a billboard. Have you ever driven down the highway? They put those billboards up so that you can keep on going. But you can read what is on there. Listen, the billboard is the Spirit. And he's out there. He is displaying what God is saying. You read it and you keep on going. Listen, there come moments where you have to slow down, but there are moments where you better just keep going. And there are moments where you have to slow down, and there are moments where you have to move fast. That's why the Bible says that we should flee the very appearance of evil. Flee means to hurriedly get away from something. You better run and get away from the wiles of the devil, the deception of the devil, when you see it. But the only way you're going to see it, if you find yourself in God's word and on your knees in prayer. I'm trying to build a healthy church here, and I need some people to say amen and get excited about a healthy church. Listen, there are churches today filled with people, and they come faithfully Sunday after Sunday, but the vast majority of them never pick up the Bible. Oh, the devil's not afraid of that. This wishy-washy, nice sayings, things to get you to remember, things that come from man and not from God. Quick little sayings, hashtag this. You need to hashtag scripture. Hashtag that. Hashtag the word of God. Give somebody something to chew on. Give somebody something that's going to be revolutionary for their spirit, man. That's going to transform their life, guys. I feel the power of God in this place this morning. Paul wonders how the Galatians could have missed the message, because he certainly made it clear enough for them. I pray today that I'm making the message clear to you guys. I don't want to say anything that God is not saying, but I want you to get what God is saying to me today. Get it, guys. Grab a hold of it. Chew on it. Romans 16 and 26 says, but now as the prophets foretold and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere so that they too might believe and obey him. The word of God is made known to every single one of us so that we would believe and turn our hearts to Jesus Christ. Listen, God just didn't come. Christ just didn't come for the Jews. Christ came for the Gentiles. Listen, I think it's through the words of the prophet Isaiah that he was going to come down through the lineage and he was going to set the captives free. He was going to set as many descendants from Abraham as far off as possible. And that included us. Amen. Their vision of Jesus Christ and him crucified has become cloudy. And when they left the message of Jesus and him crucified, they left the message Paul preached.
Yes.
Faithlessness must be confronted. You got to confront faithlessness. If you ever feel like in yourself that you can't do anything pertaining to the things of God, you need to confront it. You need to identify that spirit and say, this is not from God. Do you hear me, church? Galatians 3, 2 through 3. This is what Paul says. I want to learn only this from you. Did you receive the Spirit through the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you foolish, so foolish, having begun? This is the second time he's called them foolish. Having begun in the spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? These could be rhetorical questions. They should know this. He's asking them something. It's kind of like counseling. Listen, if you want somebody to understand something, ask them a bunch of questions so that they can come to the truth themselves. If we keep feeding it to you, you might not ever receive it. But once you're able to see it for yourself, then you can accept it.
Yes.
In other words, Paul could care less what his adversary had to say, but he wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth. In other words, this is what Paul wanted them to do. Now I'm here. I want you to tell me exactly what they're teaching again and what you're believing now. Because once they start to say it, they will hear how foolish it sounds.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that before, like said it out loud? I'm like, oh, how did I think such a stupid thing? That's what Paul wanted them to do. Have you ever been that individual? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Then in your mind, you're thinking it, and all of a sudden you say it. Hold on. Scratch that. Let's start over all over again. The Galatians were deceived into thinking that spiritual growth or maturity could be attained through the works of the flesh instead of continued faith and remaining in Jesus. Romans 8 and 1 through 2, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Those of us who are born again have received the greatest gift from God.
Yes.
His Son, His precious Holy Spirit. I want to go back to Romans 8. Listen, when you're in Christ, you're free. What that tells me is that we could, one, if we're not careful, we could be in Christ and be free. And if we're not careful, because I believe in free will, let me do it my way for a while. And thank God for His grace that He shows us how we fall short. And how silly it is to work this thing out on our own instead of allowing God to work it out for us. And so when we get a bump, a boo-boo, we learn from it and we move on. Just keep walking. When you fall down, the Bible says that the just fall seven times, but they rise back up. What makes them just is they have sense enough to get back up, dust themselves off, and keep going. Those of us who are born again have received the greatest gift from God, His precious Holy Spirit. This gift came solely through faith. Eventually, we're going to get down the road and we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. But today, we're talking about this greatest gift, and it came through faith. And you know what? How can you operate in any spiritual gift without faith? It's a good question, isn't it? I'm going to say it again because it sounded good to me. How can we operate in any spiritual gift without faith? Is it sinking in yet? How many churches are seeing spiritual gifts in operation like they should? How can we operate in any spiritual gift without faith? My question is, where's our faith? Where's our faith, guys? We want to see a move of God. We pray for a move of God, and we get up, and we live opposite of what we prayed. It's the scary part, isn't it? See, because if God tells you to do something, you better do it. Isaiah, who shall I send? I said it several weeks ago. I feel like if Isaiah had said, I think Bob down the street might be willing to go. I think God would have dropped him. It was a rhetorical question. Isaiah, whom shall I send? Send me. I guess if this is what you want to do, send me, Lord. Because he knew. He knew. He took faith. Paul's question to the Galatians is this: are you going to keep going on from here? Are you going to keep trusting God by faith? Are you going to keep walking with God by faith? Or are you going to depend on the law of Moses? See, because if they would have continued in the law of Moses, they would have continued failing and walking in defeat. The fundamental difference between the principle of the law and the principle of grace is this. The principle of the law, we are blessed and grow spiritually by earning and deserving. Principle of grace is this. We are blessed and grow spiritually by believing and receiving. Two different things. It takes a whole lot of work. And at the end of the day, Jesus told the Pharisees, you already received your reward. You get no reward in heaven because you received it from men here on earth. But when you do what you do in secret, listen, there's something to that because the Spirit is at work within you. Which one do you choose? Both require obedience. But only one is truly achievable, and that is the principle of grace. Through faith. Let me ask you this. We're going to get ready to wrap it up. If God deals with you under the covenant of grace, are you trying to deal with him on the principle of the law? Good question, isn't it? What about this? Do you believe God wants to bless you? Which is it, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Here we go. I'm going to close with this. You'll stand today. One of the greatest ploys of the enemy is this: to rob you and I of our faith and dependency on God. We tend to be so prideful that we feel that we can do this thing apart from grace and of God's influence and the leading of the Spirit. We fail to realize that we are spiritually bankrupt and in need of the free gift of heaven. We're all spiritually bankrupt, guys. We need the free gift of heaven to inherit eternal life after death. It's appointed to every single one of us to die and then the judgment.
Living Hope Assembly of God.